Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of March, recording at 8:37 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights on another interesting day, and a bit more shock and awe, but of a different variety. First, the Asian stock markets. Well, they were up more often than down. And some fairly good gains. The Nikkei Hang Seng, although not a patch on the declines that they'd seen the day before. The biggest loser in here today was China, which is still pushing lower. On the other hand, Europe saw some quite decent gains today, and mostly offsetting, well, almost offsetting yesterday's declines. But the star performance came from Wall Street, with the S&P closing up 4.25%, and that's the biggest gain since the, I think, October 2nd I saw on Bloomberg, or certainly since, maybe no, since October 2002. That was the reference. In government bonds, they were weak against the background of the stock market rally, government bond prices, that is. The U.S. dollar seesawed a bit in here today, went down to a low on the U.S. dollar index of 71.036. And now I think that figure has been readjusted. It went lower than that. I think I'm just going to put the chart up. Sorry for the delay on this. But sometimes they do funny things with the screen and sort of leveling off all the prices. Well, it was down and it's now up. We had a big tail on the chart yesterday. I will illustrate that if I have time. But we're closing out with the U.S. dollar index in after hours at 71.95. That's up 485 ticks. So that's a good rebound there. And precious metals, they closed weak here today. Now, they had bobbled around for a while, but for instance, gold bullion got up to $1,012.60, but it's last traded at $979.22. And silver at one stage got up to 20 and a half. That's the May contract, but it's currently at 1968. So as I say, declines there. The industrial metals, however, were all stronger. Copper up over 6 cents in that's COMEX copper. The soft commodities were quiet, a bit mixed, a few up, a few down. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, there are two big themes out here today, or right now, I should say. The lesser of the two big themes is the weakness of China's stock market, because the government has continued to tighten the reserve requirements at banks. That's a very conservative policy. People might be distressed by that, those who are China bulls, but you know, if Wall Street had done the same thing, or if the Fed, rather, had done the same thing 4 or 5 years ago, Wall Street's banks wouldn't be in the problems they're in today. Now, the stock market, though, continues in retreat. It's been a big correction. We have seen the Shanghai Comp P/E ratio come down from its bubbly 50 level late last year to a more manageable 30. That's historic earnings, so it would be lower on forward earnings. And the earnings are pretty good, despite the U.S. economic slowdown and the higher interest rates and effort to combat inflation, the worst of which is in the food and energy prices, but those are very emotive. Now, the important point here is that we have a negative leash effect coming from China, and I haven't spoken about the China leash effect for a while, but it is going to grow in importance. It's already important in the Asian region. So I expect, well, I expect a rally tomorrow in Asia for many of the markets. If China doesn't participate, it'll be more, much more muted than it would have otherwise otherwise been. And that China move, while to me it looks like it's beginning to appear overextended once again, there's not yet any clear sign that the move is actually over. But I maintain that China is becoming quite interesting following this big pullback. And now most of us don't buy the Shanghai Composite Index. We can't, or not easily. But what we can buy is the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, and that's selling at 13 times earnings and yields almost 3%. So for a high growth economy, that's pretty good. And most of the funds are investing that invest in China that are available to those of us who are not PRC citizens are investing in the shares listed in Hong Kong on both the Hang Seng Index and the HSCEI or H Shares Index. So these are at quite reasonable valuations, particularly considering the growth rates that are available. Now, the other leash effect is, of course, Wall Street, and that's a big one, bigger than China still. And it's been distinctly negative, and I said there'd been more shock and awe in stock markets today, but to have the best gain on Wall Street since October 2002, well, that ought to ring a few bells. Now, bears, well, it certainly shocked, the shock and awe has hit the bears in here today. Now, a key test in my mind that I was discussing with colleagues here as we were waiting for the news to break, and the immediate follow-up is that the Dow was up about 300 points before the anticipated 75 basis point rate cut occurred. And that's the size of the cut that was indicated by Bloomberg, that most people were forecasting. Although, as you're probably aware, predictions were for anything between a half a point to a full point. But so we got what the market was expecting. Now, therefore, if the market was expecting it, you could say it was already discounted. And again, my key question here was, would Wall Street fall back after that to indicate that we just had a little bit of short covering before the news and then the bears came back in? Well, as I say, the Dow was up about 300 points, and then it started to come off just before the news was announced, and it fell down and ranged around, but it got down to, it halved the gain, basically, so moved down to 145 points up on the day, but then the Dow closed out at its absolute highs, 420 points higher. S&P was 54 points higher. The NASDAQ Composite, 91 points higher. So these are huge gains in here. And the more important point is that the market reacted a little bit, gave up half of its gains following the rate cut news, and then closed out strong. Now, what do we make of this? First, technically, we have not had the breakdown that people were talking about. The S&P never took out its intraday low back on the 22nd, 23rd of January. The Dow did just fractionally, but didn't maintain it on a closing basis. The NASDAQ had been a little bit weaker, but again, remember my comment in saying that these indices would have to break down for more than a day or two to signal resumptions of the overall downward trends. Now, they haven't done that on Wall Street, And today's rebound is definitely another upside dynamic near the lows. Now, that's not game, set, and match, of course. I have talked about a long convalescence. I've said that markets are choppy at bottoms. Great action one day, disastrous the next. We expect that kind of whipsaw volatility, but this was a powerful demonstration of strength in here. And if we get any follow-through tomorrow, and I wouldn't be at all surprised, that will reaffirm the recent lows once again, which does not mean that they won't be retested at some point. As I say, these bottoming out phases are choppy and volatile. Now, Europe's action has been worse because we did get in, well, not across the boards. Let me correct that. I'll say that some of the weaker European indices, and they included the DAX, the CAC, the SMI, had actually broken down. I think the MIB 30 had done that. That's Italy. Had broken beneath its intraday January lows, but they rebounded here again quite strongly today, and I think it's pretty much foregone conclusion that they will do so again tomorrow. So that's interesting. We had downward breaks, but we're getting failures. Now over to Hong Kong and Japan and so on to see what happens as happens there tomorrow. But to end on this point where I started, the China market is a big influence. The gains in Asia will be more subdued if China does not perform in here tomorrow. Okay. What about the government bonds? I said they'd take their cue from the stock markets, and we've had a big bond market rally. So if we get stock markets extending today's gains, and I think that's a good possibility, then we can expect weaker long-dated government bond prices. Now, where I think we are seeing the sell the rumor, buy the news action here is in the US dollar. And because you know that the US dollar has been pasted on a daily basis, and I mentioned to you in my quick review at the beginning that the US dollar index, though, well, which is quite overstretched in the short term, left a big tail on the chart yesterday. In other words, it ran down to yet another new all-time low, but then it closed well off that low, albeit still down on the day. Well, today it had been weak and then has closed out strong, leaving another tail on the chart. And this looks to me as if a technical rally has commenced. And the euro, for instance, got up to 158.32. Remember, it had been up over 49 earlier, and was it earlier in the week or late last week? I can't remember. But from that 158.32, today's high, it's currently trading over 2 cents lower here at 156.30. And we have seen the dollar rebound quite strongly against the Swiss franc, getting back above the parity level. So this was I think we can expect a bit of short covering here in the US dollar. I don't think it's going to get a big upside move. There's certainly an interest rate headwind for any dollar bulls, but we're going to see dollar shorts take some profits in here, I suspect. Now, one of the main beneficiaries of all the shock and awe that had frightened equity investors was, of course, precious metals. And I have said how they looked overextended, and We'd seen some big accelerations for three of them, particularly platinum, and palladium and silver, much less so for gold, although gold has had one heck of a move in here. But they look overstretched and vulnerable, and I would be careful in there in the short term. I'm completely out of my futures positions, as you know. I got stopped out of those, albeit at profits profits yesterday. I'm in no hurry to rush back in. Now, what else to mention here? The industrial metals, on the other hand, they were hammered yesterday, and I think that was sort of a knee-jerk response there. We had a sort of spasm of deleveraging yesterday, and I think that's over for a while. It's quite interesting looking at the U.S. dollar. I was mentioning that against the yen, it's up 2.45 right now at 99.79, having dropped down to 96.86 here earlier today. So I think that, we've had another, I feel, little selling climax in here this week, and that we're certainly going to see the shorts in retreat, and there's enough value around there, and I'm not the only person who's been pointing it out. Although buyers have certainly been doing nothing more than nibbling, I've had referred to it as a catch a falling knife territory, but it's less catch a falling knife territory here today, and perhaps going forward for at least the short term. So interesting, and there are good, say, there are good values out there, and I like the fuller money themes. The fuller money themes that have most underperformed, that would be China and India, are among the most interesting at this stage, if one is taking a buy low, sell high approach. I would not be buying gold shares up here at today's levels. I think they may underperform here for a little while. I'll hold on to my gold shares because I maintain that this is an important bull market, which is very likely to continue, but possibly not until we've seen a medium-term correction. I would be surprised to see a rout in the gold shares because they had underperformed due to the general selling pressure. And when I say underperformed, they underperformed the moves in the metals, which were spectacular, but nevertheless they did pretty well. So they might take a bit of a back seat here for a while. What else to mentioned the agricultural commodities. I've said they were overextended, and again, I would expect a bit of underperformance there as well. So, Armageddon in equities has been postponed for yet another day, but you never really believed in that, did you? And announcements. I will be here tomorrow, but not on Thursday. I've got to go to Dresden, and I will. Then we have Good Friday, and I think there's also. I'm just checking my diary here. These holiday dates. Then we have Easter Monday on the 24th. I will actually be away on the Tuesday, the 25th. So I'll miss 2 days, Thursday this week and next Tuesday. But Owen, of course, will be in the driver's seat. And as I said, I'll be here tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.